Respected Gentlemen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile, one of the favorite hours of many of the listeners on a Thursday evening where we discuss and we speak about the Ulama of our era. People knew them, people interacted with them. People were such that they took motivation. And I think it's important for us to be able to speak about our great Ulama and our scholars. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اذكروا محاسن موتاكم, that remember the good attributes of your particular those that have passed on before you and those that have passed on, and remember them in a positive light. And having said that, that is why we speak with regards to our scholars, our ulama. Last week we had Maulana Johadin that passed away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the family. His son Maulana Ansar, who qualified in Darulum Zakaria, will be the anchor for the program, and he will be telling us with regards to his father. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah so much for taking out your time on this Thursday evening to speak about one of the people that served the community for a very long time, and those people that selflessly gave their time and the sacrifices they made to serve the people of the area. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant your father the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the shortcomings that he could possibly have.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for that, Mawlana.
Ameen. Mawlana, coming from the very beginning, just in terms of a family background, do you want to give us a little bit of a family background with regards to the personality that we discussed today?
Okay, now inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa mursaleen nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Firstly, alhamdulillah, my father, he was born into a family, subhanallah, a poor family from Russell Street in District 6 in Cape Town. And actually my grandfather as well was an imam, and he used to be the naib imam of Sheikh Muhammad Saleh Abadi in Cape Town. And subhanallah, in my family, like my father, he was one of four brothers and two sisters, and they were a very poor family. And I remember my father always telling me that my grandfather, they could afford to send one away to go and study, and they chose him to go. And subhanallah, and he grew up in District 6 under very difficult circumstances at that time with the apartheid and all those types of things. And subhanallah, I'm talking now, he was born in 1933.
And, 1933, subhanallah.
And he grew up there in District 6, and it was in the late 40s when he went over himself and the late Sheikh Omar Khabir and Sheikh Abdul Hamid Khabir, and there was quite a few of them. There were about seven of them that had the opportunity to go and study in Masr, in Cairo, in Al-Azhar. And I remember my father telling me that when they went, he was about 13 years old, and they went over, and subhanAllah, at that time they had to go by boat. They had to take a train to Durban, and from Durban they had to take a boat to go and study in Al-Azhar. And subhanAllah, it was there that he studied, and he was there for about, subhanAllah, about 10 years before returning home. But alhamdulillah, he grew up in that environment, in our family, alhamdulillah. From before him, my grandfather, he was an imam as well. And before, my uncle, my father's uncles and that, they were all, subhanAllah, we still have some of the old kutub at that time. They used to write in Arabic, but yeah, they used to call it Arab Ghulant, because you write the script in Arabic, but you read it in Afrikaans.
SubhanAllah. Is some of those letters still available,
Mawlana? Yes, I still have some of those. There's booklets, there's books on fiqh, there's books on subhanAllah and tajweed that's written. It's the Arabic script, and it's still handwritten. It's the Arabic script, but it's written in at a read in Afrikaans.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, no,
so listeners, it's an open line. We're speaking about Maulana Jawaheddin Saab Rahimahullah, who passed away last week. And we are speaking with his son, Maulana Ansar, who's giving us a glimpse on the life of one of the great ulama of our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the family abundantly. So Maulana, your grandfather was one of the Naib Imams of Sheikh Saleh Abadi. Your father was born in 1933, and around the late 40s, he would then go to Cairo and study in the Al-Azhar University for approximately 10 years.
Yeah, he spent about 10 years there, and then he returned home, and subhanAllah, he started work in Cape Town. And I remember him telling us that in the late 50s, the early 60s, then he was sent by my grandfather, he was sent to Worcester. And he actually, subhanAllah, he was one of the founder members of the Ikramiya in Worcester. When, subhanAllah, he was actually the first madrasa teacher there. And he used to teach there, and one of the, Mulna Ihsan Hendricks from Cape Town, he's originally from Worcester, and he used to go to the madrasa by my father before he went to go and study.
SubhanAllah.
And subhanAllah, and then he spent most of his, subhanAllah, one thing, since he came back, most of his life was spent in doing community work. He was doing imamah, subhanAllah, for more than 55 years.
And more than
he was, 55 years, more than 55 years he's been doing imamah in different places, subhanAllah. He was in Worcester for about 4 or 5 years, and then he returned to Cape Town. And subhanAllah, he was for a small while, he was in Pietermaritzburg as well. And I remember him telling me that he studied, he wasn't hafiz, but he always wanted to be hafiz of the Quran. And he studied hijz by Sheikh Saleh Abadi. And there was quite a few mashayikh that he studied under in Cape Town. And he was actually sent by the late Sheikh Omar Khabir's father, Hafiz Yusuf Khabir. He actually sent him to go and do imamah for a small while in Pietermaritzburg in the town. And he done imamah there, and when he came there, he found one of his ustad that was teaching him hijz before he went to go study in Cairo. And subhanAllah, and he was a hafiz that was there, that was doing imamah as well. SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. It's amazing, Maulana. After that, would your father then come to Johannesburg?
Yes, my father, actually what happened was, my father, he spent a lot of time in Johannesburg. What happened was, he's always been from, for many years, actually, what happened was, after he was in Worcester, he was in Cape Town for a long while, and he was doing imamah, but then he came to Johannesburg in about 1963, I'm talking about the early 60s, that was before my time, subhanAllah. My elder brother, he was born in 1965, and at that time, my father was already teaching in nuclear, and I think that time it was still a sink building. And what happened was, actually the first imam in Bosman Masjid, the first imam in Bosman Masjid in 1965, that was my father.
SubhanAllah.
And he was there for a while, and then after that, subhanAllah, he moved, and he was teaching in nuclear masjid, and then after that he taught in El Dorado Park. And in the late 70s, he was teaching at the LMA in Lens. But what happened was, because of the apartheid government, when he was teaching there, my elder brother, he had to go to high school, and he went to high school. And at that time, he wasn't allowed to write the exams because of the colored affairs and Indian affairs. And that was the reason we moved to Cape Town. And subhanAllah, there my father started, we moved to Mitchell's Plain on the Cape Flats. And he was one of the first members of the Mitchell's Plain Islamic Society. He was doing imamah at the Jumu'ah Masjid in Westridge.
SubhanAllah. Before we carry on, we have a caller live on here. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Mali Chaudhry Sahib. What's your input for our program this evening?
Yes, Sheikh Ibrahim Jawaheddin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, may Allah Ta'ala fill his cover with Noor.
Ameen.
You know, our colleague Mali Mohsin Sabir, when we heard Sheikh Ibrahim is in the area and Mali Ansar moved, we said we have to meet him. As you can hear how senior he was and when, very early on he started in Al-Azhar. And when we met the sheikh, he really put us to ease, you know, him being a senior and we much junior than him. So we said, don't worry, be relaxed. Molly Ansar, alhamdulillah, prepared a scrumptious meal. And we sat there with the sheikh and asking him, you know, from nasihat and advice. Just a few pointers to share myself, firstly, that we can benefit from him. Explain the importance of imamat and how in Cape Town, when first he went into imamat, etc., and how the community might be a bit apprehensive at first, etc. But once you engage with them and listen to them and become part of the family, everything you say, then the imam, it's his word, is the be-all and end-all of the whole thing. And also he mentioned to us one thing, that how he used to take time in preparing his Jummah lectures. He said that for every Jummah, normally we give the bayan, but the khutbah, we just say the normal khutbah from any of the khutbah kitabs. But he himself used to prepare a new Arabic khutbah for every Jummah.
Alhamdulillah.
So really, Sheikh, many, many other things, but maybe there will be other callers also to call. So unfortunately, he was a gem in our society. Many people never knew him, very quiet and to himself. But really, really, he had a lot of pearls of wisdom. And, you know, you could hear all the experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur and grant a family.
Ameen.
Sabun jameel, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah so much for this call, Mawlana.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu rahmatullah. Respected listeners, we are reminded, it's an open line. If you perhaps knew Mawlana, you interacted, please do give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. And inshallah ta'ala, we will take your call and share it with the listeners of Radio Islam International. Mawlana, please do carry on. You were making mention of your father then having to leave Lanesia, obviously because of the regime of that time and what was happening.
Yes, and then we went to Cape Town, and we were doing, in fact, he was doing imamat at Westridge, at the Jummah Masjid in Westridge, and that was for about 4 or 5 years when the masjid closed, when there came a masjid closer to where we were staying, because we were staying in Rocklands. And subhanAllah, at that time, I remember when he used to walk, and subhanAllah, the distance, it would be like, subhanAllah, we stayed in Rocklands, and the Jummah Masjid was in Westridge. That would be like between Extension 1 and Extension 5, if I can put it that way, for those listeners in the Joburg area. And he would walk, and he would walk there for Asr, and from Asr he would stay there till Isha. But subhanAllah, like when Chaudhry was mentioning, just one point that he used to love to read. And he would, as soon as Jummah is finished, he would already start preparing for the next Jummah, and he would look for you know, the khutbah. He would look for an ayah or a hadith or a qissa or a riwayah from different books, and he loved to read, subhanAllah. That was his passion. He loved to sit with his books, and that was something that you would always find him. He would always sign him with a book. I remember him telling us when he was younger, he used to like reading. When he was studying, then he used to like reading this novel, this Western book, subhanAllah, while he was studying. But afterwards now, he only read, subhanAllah, he used to take from different kitabs and write his own khutbahs. And what he used to do is he used to record it. In fact, I still have the pages from the early 80s right up to about, I think it was about 2012, where he stopped being, where he actually retired. As such, he was still very involved, but then he didn't take a formal post. But then all the khutbahs that he wrote, and wherever he gave it, he would record that on the first weekend, the week in Ramadan, he spoke on the Quran and whatever, on where the khutbah is. And subhanAllah, he always used to tell me that I'm lazy, because I used to just take his khutbahs and just recycle it. He used to tell me that the only way you can learn is if you go and research it yourself and you write it with your hand. You write it, and that's how you will get the knowledge. But subhanAllah. Yes, and then when we were in Mitchell's Plain, he was doing, subhanAllah, it was actually there where we stayed in Rocklands, where he was doing imamah there for about 15 years before we moved up to Johannesburg, or 12 or 13 years. And it was there where he really would always say days where he learned through imamah, because everything about the imamah was about going to the houses of each and every person, making sure you keep contact, going and visiting everybody, go and knock on the door and say, how are you, my brother, and try and create that ta'alluq and that relationship between the people and the masjid and the imam. And subhanAllah, that is something that he always worked on. And he always used to tell me, you know, if you are serving a community or you are serving the people, if you can't feel what they are going through, then you shouldn't be there.
Allahu Akbar.
And that was his passion always. And he would say that, look here, your duty is like, if as easy for you to say that, look here, you can work for yourself or you can work for your family, but if Allah Ta'ala granted you the deen, or granted you some of the deen, then your responsibility is to make sure that you pass it on to the ummah. And he was always, subhanAllah, I remember when I came back from Medina, then I was offered a job at the embassy. They were looking for somebody as a translator, and then I remember that Haji Lutfi in Westbury came to him and told him, no, they're looking for an imam in Westbury. And subhanAllah, I think that with regards to salary, I think the salary in Westbury was probably a third, not even a third of what they were offering at the embassy. And my father said, no, you didn't go study all that years to go and translate for, and the embassy you studied so that you can give the deen to the people. You have to go and do imamah.
SubhanAllah. Amazing. SubhanAllah. But I suppose, Mawla, as you get along, we realize and we understand the wisdom of it now in this part of our life, or when you see the effect of something like that.
True. Now you realize what you had, subhanAllah, and how precious that was, subhanAllah. That is truly something that we can make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when my father, subhanAllah, there was, you know, if I look at the way he was and his life, there were three things that really stood out. One was he was very passionate about learning. SubhanAllah, he always used to say, every time I pick up a book, then I realize how little I know, how little I have. And he would love to always read. He would love to whatever he has read or learned or whatever he has gained, then he would tell everybody. He would go out of his way to make sure he teaches it to somebody. That's the first thing. The second thing that he loved, that he was passionate about, was to make sure that he gives the deen to as many people as you can. You give the deen to everybody. And the third one that he was always working on, and that, subhanAllah, all the Shawafi ulama here in the Johannesburg area, they will know that he used to always try to bring the ulama together so that they can work together to benefit the community.
SubhanAllah.
You know, we have, and unfortunately we stay in a time where there's so many differences and people have so many ikhtilafat, so many differences in opinion. And he always tried to bring them together and say that, look here, if we work together, then we can take the whole ummah forward. And that was his passion, and that was, subhanAllah, what he always tried, wherever he went, subhanAllah.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about Imam Johadin that passed away, and we have his son, Morana Ansar, and we are discussing some of the aspects about the life of Morana, and we are speaking about Morana's history, and some of the achievements that Morana had while Morana was serving the community. And we had the aspect about Morana's life in Johannesburg. Let Morana change focus a little bit for the time being, and let's speak about him as a father to you. Obviously, the one thing you made mention about was the fact that he encouraged you to rather work in an area for the third of the salary you were getting, but you were serving the deen in a greater way, with greater aspiration than what you would have done at a different employment. But what was he like as a father to you, Morana?
Hey, subhanAllah. You know, growing up, my father was so, when I came back, I told him, you know, I used to be speak Afrikaans, and I said, Daddy, I told him, my father, you always use cheap psycho on me. Because subhanAllah, you know, when I was young, and he used to work in the community a lot, and he always used to take me along. And he always used to encourage me, and he used to speak to me. He was never somebody that was very strict, but it was very, very seldom that he would give you hiding. But he was very strict. But then he always used to encourage me until I wanted to go study. And when I wanted to go study, And I wanted to go and learn. I wanted to go and study further. I wanted to go to Al Azhar like he went. And then he told me, no. You just want to bunk school. So you stay here and you make sure that you learn here. You show me that you really want to learn. And subhanAllah, and he made me stay there for 1 year, 2 years, and then until he said that, no, okay, if you really want to go study, then you must remember, you can't study, you can't go and try and see how it goes and just, you know. But as he used to tell me that, no, if you go to finish it. If you want to become hafiz, don't start. Just to see how it goes and see how far you can get. No, go so that you can finish it. What you start, you must finish. And don't expect that life will be easy. And he was very, one thing, he was always very jolly. He was always very happy. And he was somebody that would always make a joke. And always, you know, he would always, no matter how serious the situation was, he would talk a serious matter, and then he would make some joke that would just lift your spirits, subhanAllah. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me that, you know, go and study, and whatever you do, you don't complain, and you finish what you do, inshallah. And then I told him, then when I went to study, then he told me, no, you're not going to go to Al-Azhar, because if you're going to go that far, and you catch on nonsense, then you have to just come home and everything is finished. But he said, no, you're going to go here, and you go and study. Yeah, at Zakaria, and he told me that actually at the beginning he said that, okay, now it's better for you to go there, because more important than going to learn the Quran and knowing the Quran is that you must have the akhlaq of a person of the Quran. And he says, if you're going to stay here at home and you're just going to do in the afternoon Quran and you're going to have all the distractions, you won't be able to get the akhlaq of the people of the Quran. So he told me, no, go to Zakaria. And subhanAllah, I went there. And he told me, now, Zakaria, Joburg is not, we were staying in Cape Town at that time, he was telling me, Joburg isn't so far. So if you come, if you do catch on nonsense, then I can get in my car, I can drive to there, and I can give you the hiding of your lifetime, subhanAllah. And then we can go home, and then things can carry on as normal, subhanAllah. As a father, you were somebody that was always very encouraging, and you were somebody that was always there. You was never someone that you had to be afraid of. You could speak with him about anything and everything. And subhanAllah, and he I told him when I came back, I told him he used cheap psycho on me just to encourage me and just to get me, but he knew just how, subhanAllah. And that was something that Allah Ta'ala gave him, that I treasure for him as a father. He was somebody that truly he used the deen to inspire us.
Respected listeners, we have on air with us now Maulana Ridwan. We also would like to share with regards to Maulana Jihad. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah for taking out your time this evening, Maulana.
Shukran, Maulana, for the opportunity. And assalamu alaikum to everyone there.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah. Maulana, your input to today's program, inshallah.
Yes, it's very sad also to speak about Sheikh, because for more than 17 years I've been with Sheikh, very close with Sheikh, and I've shared a lot of a lot of memories with Sheikh, a lot of history that we have together. But there's a lot of things that I would like to mention, but inshallah let's start with one thing that Sheikh always used to emphasize and always stress upon, is the family ties also. About everyone, today we have the our life is like a rat race. We are moving fast, we are doing a lot of things, but the thing is we need to sit down and think about our families, our quality times with our families and everything. Sheikh was not only a father, he was a community leader, he was a mentor, he was everything that a person would like, to be in touch with. And Sheikh was very instrumental in all the places that he's been to, that he has started something. If you look at his history, he has started a lot of things. And once the project is going, Sheikh leaves and he starts something else. And Sheikh always maintained this thing that, if Allah wants you to be in another place, or Allah, your rizq is somewhere else, then you have to leave, you have to go. And that was Sheikh's life, with humility,
with humbleness Sheikh has taken on everything, and alhamdulillah Sheikh have achieved a lot in terms of his deen, of everything. And we as his students, we as, you know, looking up to Sheikh for guidance and for advice. One particular thing stood out towards Sheikh. Whenever a person meets him, and whenever in person, doesn't matter, small, old, young, that he had that quality in him to make you feel very special. And the advices that he used to give you was the advice that, you know what, this is what life is all about, and this is what your deen is all about. And, you know, that makes a person very special. And the amount of knowledge that Sheikh had about everything, alhamdulillah, you know, it was tremendous. It was just fulfilling for us to be in his company, and it was wonderful, really. I can't express the gratitude that I had with us, you know, more than 17 years with Sheikh, that I've gained a lot. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Ansar was speaking about the khutbas and everything. Alhamdulillah, I've got a lot of khutbas also. Sheikh has also passed on to me. So, you know, that is the legacy that Sheikh has left behind, yes.
Mohammed, jazakallah so much. It was really amazing. What would be the one thing that you would use in terms of Sheikh's life to inspire the listeners of Radio Islam International?
The one thing that stood out for me was his humility. You know, be humble in whatever you want to do. No matter what you want to do, everything has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Sheikh said. And Sheikh also used to tell us and advise us that nothing will happen and nothing is going to happen except through the Qudrat and through the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be what it is. It is a matter for you to do your things, whatever you need to do, and then it is for you to carry on with it. And alhamdulillah, Sheikh, for the last period of his life, Sheikh was for more than 25 years in the Newlands Masjid, where Sheikh was doing imamat also. And also Sheikh was very instrumental in getting me, after Sheikh has retired in 2008, Sheikh brought me here to this masjid, and Sheikh told the committee, this is the person that I want to be the imam at this masjid. And alhamdulillah, it is now going for 10 years now that I'm still here at the same masjid. And through his guidance and through his advices, that is how we carry on. But it's one of his lessons that in life that I saw and that had tremendous effect on everybody was his humility. He was the least in everything, but yet he was the gem, he was the jewel amongst everything. So this definitely we will miss him for his advices. And definitely Sheikh always, there was never a dull moment with Sheikh, always full of jokes, and for his humor, sense of humor was of that kind that, you know, you always, when you meet him, something will come out. He always had something up his sleeve. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages in Jannah, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Respected listeners, we are profiling the Sheikh Ibrahim Johadin, who passed away last week. And it is an open line, so if you want to give us a call, the number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could just drop me a WhatsApp message. The number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we will read your message live on air. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it clear that we are able to get inspiration from our honorable ulama kiram that we every week profile. And we are speaking to Mawlana Ansar, who is telling us with regards to his family. And one of the things with regards to Mawlana is his father. Just a brief recap of what we have been discussing thus far. A Sheikh was born in around 1933. His father, that means Mawlana Ansar's grandfather, was the Naib Imam of Sheikh Saleh Abadi in Cape Town, who inshallah we hope to profile in one of the coming weeks. Sheikh went to study in around the early, late 40s in the Al-Azhar University in Cairo. Coming from a fairly poor background, he was one of the only siblings that was given the opportunity to study, obviously because of financial constraints in that time. Coming back around the 1950s and 60s, Sheikh would make imamat for 55 years of his life. Subhanallah. Sheikh came to Joburg around 1963, where he was the imam in Nuclear. He was also gave one of the first Jumas in the Nuclear Masjid as well. And Sheikh taught in Malaysia as well. But obviously, due to the regime of the time, he had to then go back to Cape Town, where he was in Worcester. And it was one of those madrasas where the previous president of the MJC, Sheikh Ihsan Hendricks, was a student there at the madrasa. And obviously, Sheikh Ibrahim Johadin was one of the ustad that were there. And we are speaking to Ihsan Maulana Ansar, who is giving us information regarding his father and truly fascinating information that we are discussing with regards to him. Sheikh, you can carry on and you can tell us more about your father, inshallah.
Okay, now, inshallah. Now, I'm just thinking now, subhanallah, when my father, he was here, I remember him telling us that time when he started in Bosman, he was very close friends with the late Haji Amin. Haji Amin, that's from Bosman, and they were very close friends from a young age. They were still young. They were newly married, and subhanallah. And I remember my father telling me that he learned how to be a mechanic by Haji Amin, because he was a mechanic, and he was a good mechanic. And my father was somebody that always wanted to be hands-on. He was somebody that was very independent. He was never, ever shy or lazy to work. He would work, subhanallah. And he was very close with Haji Amin. And I remember, subhanallah, that time he used to teach in Nuclear, and he was doing imamat in Bosman, subhanallah. And when he, from there, subhanallah, when he started in Cape Town, subhanallah, till now, The people that phoned us from Cape Town after the janazah, subhanAllah, from the people that were there, they performed the salat al-ghaib in the masjid where he used to do imamat there. And the one thing that he loved, subhanAllah, the people, the community was always, you know, the main concern of his. I remember him telling me, because I'd asked him when I was doing imamat in George, and I asked him, doesn't it ever get easier? Because, subhanAllah, in Cape Town, in George, in the Western Cape there, when you do imamat, it's a 24-7. You on call 24-7. And I remember him telling me, you know, it doesn't get easier. And sometimes you have to take special time out for the family. Because he says there were times, I remember he was telling me that he would be like after Maghrib, he would be visiting people, or he would have social problems or welfare cases or something of the sort. And sometimes it would go into late into the night. And he says there were one, two occasions where he came home and he saw his clothes was in a Wembley packet, you know, like one of these pick and pay packets on the stoop outside the front door that my mother put outside. And she told him, no, go back where you came from. and he always used to tell me about how he would work in the community, and he said that is the most important thing. When you're doing imamah, if you are on the musalla, if you are on the mimbar, that is only 5 or 10% of the work, but the rest of the work, 90%, 95% of the work, is to work with the people and make sure that they get the deen. Make sure that you have, that the deen has an impact on their life, that they have some connection to the deen. Because they are influenced by everyone else and by everything else. And subhanAllah, that was the way he was. And like I'm thinking now towards the end, now in this last year, subhanAllah, since last year, one of the reasons why I moved back up to Johannesburg, he would never ever give me ijazah before that, subhanAllah. When my stepmother, after my mother had passed away in 1998, then my father had remarried. And when my stepmother, when she passed away last year in Ramadan, subhanAllah, he was very lonely. But subhanAllah, he always found happiness, and he always found, you know, that contentment when he's in front of his books. And he would sit and he would read for hours. He would come whenever you speak. And this was one quality that he had, you know. You could come and sit by him. You can speak nonsense and you can speak about this and that. But somehow, in the conversation you would turn it into something concerning the deen.
Subhanallah.
You would turn the conversation into something where you are talking about some part of the deen, and he would tell you about, hey, you know what, I read this and used to love, like, geez. In Cape Town, subhanallah, they gave him a nickname in Rocklands, where he was doing Muhammad, they called him the Imam Fani Ajal, because one of his favorite topics was to speak about death and about what is going to happen after death. He used to have khutab only on death and what is going to happen when Malik al-Maut pulls that ruh and what is going to happen in that qabr. And that was, subhanallah, one of the topics that he used to love to speak about. And he would always remind us about that, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Sheikh Johadin, who passed away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to get inspiration from him. We have on the line now Haji Taha Kara, who also knew Sheikh for a very long time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah so much for taking out your time this evening, Sheikh Taha.
Ji, alhamdulillah.
Your input in today's program regarding our Honorable Sheikh Johadin.
Well, look, Sheikh, what I can say of Sheikh, I've listened to his son speaking, I've listened to Mullah Ridwan also. The only thing I would like to add to it, that was the simplicity of Sheikh. Sheikh was such a simple person, and nothing of this dunya really interested Sheikh. Sheikh was a person, I know Sheikh for over 55, maybe more than 55 years, I knew Sheikh. He was just a simple person, plain and simple, no dunya in his heart.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, no, his whole object was just the deen and how to keep. He was actually, When he came to Osmond, him and Sheikh Basra and Sheikh Ikramuddin, they came and they established the maktab in Osmond that time.
Around what year are we talking about, Haji Taha?
We're talking that now, I'm not so sure, but we're talking that maybe 1963, roundabout there.
Subhanallah.
He was the first Imam of Osmond.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. So I know Sheikh from that time, but the only thing that I, because everything was said, as far as Sheikh is concerned, everything was said by Sheikh Ansar and Mullah Ridwan, because I was sitting and listening to it. But the one thing that stands out in Sheikh's life was his simplicity. No dunya could affect him. His heart was, there was no dunya in his heart. He only had deen, like they were saying that about his sitting and writing khutbahs and all that. I used to witness all these things with Sheikh. He would sit and write every khutbah every Friday. He would start another khutbah for the following week. And all those, he actually said that to my children, that they should use these khutbahs. You know, he used to write his own khutbahs and they actually, I don't know whether they took some of the khutbahs, but he wrote his khutbahs himself, and he was just concerned with dini work. And like his son was saying, Sheikh was saying that, his son was saying that, I was going to say something, I got distracted now.
Not a problem.
No, I was just distracted with somebody walking past here now.
No.
His son was saying that he used to write the khutbahs himself. I witnessed these things, and I can only say that Sheikh was a person for deen and not for dunya. Never for dunya. And like he was saying, that he was a good friend of Haji Amin. And he used to be in the house. You know, Haji Amin is my father-in-law. He used to be in and out the house there. And the thing is that the only thing I can say, make dua, ya Allah, give him Jannah to Firdaus. Make his full his cover with the Noor.
Ameen.
Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi and give him Jannah to Firdaus. That's all I can say.
Jazakallah so much, Haji Taha, for your input this evening.
Oh, Jazakallah. Okay then.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It was Haji Taha, the son-in-law of late Marhum Haji Amin Rahimahullah. Moran Ansar, coming back to you, and as we come into the closure, is there any sort of effort to perhaps publish some of those khutbahs that your Honorable Father would write?
You know, in this last year, actually started, my brother-in-law in Cape Town, he gave him a computer, a laptop, and he actually set it up for him that he can type Arabic. And he's been recording, he's been typing out that khutbah in Arabic, and the two of us, myself and him, we were saying that now we're going to sit with a translation, because he was saying, you know, if we can put that into book form, then it will be such a benefit to the Ummah, it will be such a benefit. My father always used to say, you know, then it could make it so much easier for khatibs or for imams or people that are giving khutbahs, that they could be able to just read the khutbah and have like an entire talk or certain hadith and riwayat regarding that's related to the topic of the khutbah that they can use within the nasiha. And we started on that, alhamdulillah. He's typed out probably about 16 of these khutab, and no maaf, I'm talking wrong, it's more than 20 of the khutab that he's typed out already, that inshallah I hope to put into book form, inshallah, at the stage,
inshallah.
That it can be a benefit for the ummah, inshallah.
Well, Ansar, as we're coming to a close of today's program, which has been really fascinating in many ways, you want to give us a little bit of an overview of perhaps the last year of your father's life, and obviously then coming to the aspect of his death?
Yes, okay. Now, when my father in this last year, subhanAllah, my father, he used to write this. So now, even though he wasn't giving khutbahs anymore, but he used to write the khutbahs and he used to type it out. And in this last year now, he used to try, because now Auntie Jochi wasn't there, my stepmother, his wife wasn't there now, and he used to keep himself busy with reading books and with the khutab. And you know, it was one of the things that for the last, not only this last year, subhanAllah, for as long as I can remember, every Sunday without fail, he would be at the maqbara in New Clay. That was his norm. He would not let a Sunday go past without being, the Sunday morning, he would be in that maqbara no matter what. And even now, towards the later now, even when he didn't drive there himself, Mullah Ridwan would come and pick him up to make sure that he's in the maqbara every Sunday without fail. And actually, he told me now, the beginning of the year, he said, you know what now? He all the years, from when he was small, he wanted to learn Hafiz, and he said, maybe now he can get an opportunity, because now he's alone in this, he's got time. And even now, then he told me now, before Ramadan, this was the first year, because of the imamah duties and because of all the other things, he never ever had the opportunity to perform i'tikaf for the full 10 days. But then now, this last Ramadan, he sat for the full 10 days of i'tikaf in the Newlands Masjid, subhanAllah. And then I still asked him, and he said, I asked him, isn't it going to be cold? Isn't it going to be a bit difficult because of his age? So he said, no, don't worry. They got underfloor heating there. And he was very happy with that, subhanAllah. And then he stayed for the full 10 days of the i'tikaf this year. And that was the first time that he had the opportunity. But in this last year, subhanAllah, I have really seen my father right till the end. You know, he was never ever somebody that would lay in the hospital. He was always very active and alhamdulillah very strong till last. He wouldn't sit and make salah on a chair. He would stand and he would be able to perform his salah right till the end. Now, subhanAllah, in fact, the Sunday before he passed away, I had a janazah in Bosman, and we went to go bury in West Park, and he actually accompanied me and he came with me, and he still made a joke with Baki, the one brother, Haji Lutfi San from CIT, that works there, and he was complimenting him on how he was doing the burial, how he was packing the planks, and he was telling him, as in khayt met may khabir, I'm just from Mayuk Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
That was the Sunday before he passed away. That was the Sunday, and we went for the janazah, and everything was finished, and then the Monday morning, subhanAllah, was when I took him into the hospital when he had the, when he became, he had a pain over his chest the night before, and that pain wouldn't go away. And when we came to the hospital, they said it was a heart attack. And subhanAllah, and then from there, he was put into high care, and he was recovering, and actually they moved him up away out of that high care. And when the Tuesday, subhanAllah, when we came there visiting ours, subhanAllah, then he suffered a second heart attack, and that was the cause of death, subhanAllah. And that was the last that, but he was never ever sick, and he never ever suffered, alhamdulillah. He had that little bit of pain, but he was still jolly, and he was still joking. Like there was one of his friends, Mutadullah from Marisburg, that came. He arrived there before me, and he came there, and he was still speaking, and he was still joking. And when they came there, my father was telling, "Hey, I'm waiting a whole day for you." He was telling him in Afrikaans, "Ek wag al heel dag vir julle om te kom," and he was still joking with him, subhanAllah. And then just about 3:30, while the visiting hours, while we were there, then he suffered the second heart attack. And subhanAllah, qadar Allah ma sha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts out everything for a reason, and Allah ta'ala puts out everything as its time, subhanAllah. And that is, and but he was happy till the end, and he was, subhanAllah, still the same person. And we make dua Allah ta'ala grants him jannah to his dose, inshaAllah, and grants him nur in his qabr, and make us all benefit from, subhanAllah, he has left a legacy. And there are so many of his students. There are so many. I remember when I was studying at Zakaria, and when we moved up to Johannesburg, then when we had a weekend off, then all the boys from Cape Town or anybody that wasn't staying around, then we used to come home for the weekend. And on a Sunday morning, subhanAllah, then he would put us all in the front of, we used to stay at Newlands Masjid, and he would put us all in the front in a row, and he says, "No." And he put the mic on and said, "Now, for now, alhamdulillah, you can relax and everything, but now we're just going to read Quran." And we would let us just recite Qira'ah, just read Quran, everybody that came for the weekend, subhanAllah. And even after that, when I wasn't there anymore there, and my father and my mother then were still there, I went to Medina to Munawara, and then the students would still come every weekend, subhanAllah, and they would continuously come. And that was because they, my father, them, subhanAllah, there were a few people that were like that, you know, everybody around them, they would like attract them. And, you know, it would be like something that, and whatever they do, everything was always about the deen and about how important the deen is and how important it is to give it over to others.
JazakAllah so much, Mawlana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that. That the family have sufficient amount of replacement, the grandchildren aspire to be able to be like the grandparents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you la ni'mal badr, inshaAllah.
Ameen, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mawlana.
Khairan, Mawlana, for joining us this evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Respected listeners, that was Mawlana Ansar speaking about his father, and what a wonderful and amazing program we've had about Mawlana Ibrahim Johadin, speaking about his life and his services for the better part of 55 years, making imamat. And this is truly the great elders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, whose concern continuously would be the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah also make us from among the glorious category. And inshallah, from myself, Ubaidullah Boja, we shall speak to you next week again. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.